Our present meditation is on charity, the virtue and acts of supernatural charity. Needless to say, this is enough not just for a retreat, but for a lifetime of prayerful reflection. It is, after faith and hope, the third basic infused virtue that we receive at baptism. It is well to know that theologically we identify the state of grace with the possession of the virtue of charity. Every person in mortal sin has lost the virtue of charity. A large and most significant statement of our faith. It is also well to know that, and sadly, many of most of our modern translations of the New Testament simply, and I have to use the word tragically, replace love for charity. It is precisely here, that the supernatural order differs from our natural powers. We love naturally. We can practice charity only supernaturally. In one simple declarative sentence, God became man mainly to teach us by example and by precept to practice charity. The Latin noun caritas existed centuries before the dawn of Christianity, but there was no charity until God became man. God became man mainly to practice charity. And as you would expect, what a safe statement, non-Catholic English language has now come to use the word charity for dropping a dime of your generous a quarter in a beggar's cup. In general, charity is the selfless love of someone, and we immediately add someone else than yourself. There has never been, there need not be, a divine precept, thou shalt love thyself. As a supernatural virtue of charity, remember, virtues are powers. It is first of all and fundamentally the virtue or power enabling us to love God above all things, and among these things is especially to love God above ourselves. It means the love of God above all things for His own sake, loving God because He is God. Needless to say, the subject of this morning's meditation is a synthesis of Christianity. We know this is what not only God, having become man, practiced. This is who God is. In St. John's words, God is love. The selfless, totally selfless, shall we use the word sharing of each of the three divine persons, sharing their divine nature among themselves. Here's the language. They are stuttering babes. They have only the vaguest understanding of not only that God loves, but that God is love. God is charity. The total and complete and eternal never began, will never end. And the total sharing, to use our human vocabulary, of the one divine nature among the three divine persons. But we know the virtue of charity in us is not only, though mainly, the love of God for Himself above all things, but the love of others, and watch it, out of love for God. That phrase is at the heart of our faith. It is good business to love others. It is beneficial to us to love others. And that for the very basic psychological reason, if you want others to love you, well, I repeat, common sense tells you, you must show some love for them. That's not charity. Charity, therefore, as its second part of defining charity, loving God for Himself above all things, and loving others out of love for God. Needless to say, before we go any further, needless to say, the depth and extent and constancy and perseverance of our love of others is conditioned by our love for God. We love others only in the measure that we love God. And we fail in loving others in the degree that we fail in our love for God. as we've said, and this is still the introduction, in the vocabulary of the Catholic Church, the virtue of charity is identified with sanctifying grace. Everyone who loses sanctifying grace always loses the virtue of charity. Is it any wonder we are living in the most cruel age of human history? Everyone in mortal sin is without the virtue of charity. Believe me, these are not just syllables. They are the heart of human existence. And correspondingly, as we go in God's grace, we grow correspondingly in the virtue of charity. As we've said, the subject for this morning's meditation is an ocean. So I made a decision. I decided that I would take St. Paul's teaching on charity. The whole chapter 13 of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Over the years of my priesthood, I have given conferences, lectures, beyond counting, on the most clear, specific, and comprehensive description of how, after all, this is a retreat. How do we practice this charity, which is of the heart, not just of Christianity? It is the very definition of God Himself. I would like to first read, it's not a long, the short chapter 13 of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and then concentrate on the qualities of this infused virtue of charity. Says Paul, I want to point out to you a more excellent way. If I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. If I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to move mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. If I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. And now, a definition of charity that every Catholic should memorize. Charity is patient. Charity is kind. Charity does not envy. Charity is not pretentious. Charity is not puffed up. Charity is not ambitious. Charity is not self-seeking. Charity is not provoked. Charity thinks no evil. Charity does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth. Charity bears with all things. Charity believes all things. Charity hopes all things. Charity endures all things. The 14 divinely revealed qualities of this infused virtue of charity. Paul goes on. Charity never fails, whereas prophecies will disappear, and tongues will cease, and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three. Well, the greatest of these is charity. Please God, when we reach heaven, faith and hope will have disappeared. Charity remains for all eternity. A good definition of heaven is, heaven is eternal, enjoyed practice of charity. Now to go over the 14 qualities that we've heard St. Paul gives us as the properties of this infused virtue. Given the time at our disposal, I will cover all 14. See a word in explanation, but especially urge all of us, beginning with the speaker, to go in this precious, God-like virtue of charity. Charity, Paul tells us, is patient. Remember what we said patience was. Patience is voluntary suffering. You are not practicing charity unless you are suffering deliberately. In seeing all places, this quality of charity first, with good reason. Of course, charity as patience suffers willingly and suffers from those who it loves. husbands don't have to ask your wives. You are heard in the retreat that charity is patient, and patience is voluntary suffering. Would you please, my dear, cause me some pain? Oh, how generous our loved ones are. St. Paul goes on. Charity is kind. Charity is kind. Kindness is strength restrained by love. Weak people cannot be kind. Strong mind, strong will, strong body. When under provocation, I do not use my strength. I do not use the names that come to my mind. I do not use my muscle. And especially, I restrain my will. Every time we are offended instinctively, this is part of our fallen nature, instinctively we are urged to revenge the enemy. We are urged to pay back. Someone does not meet us. All right. So I won't meet him or her. I've said this more than once. My 4 years at Georgetown University, one of my fellow Jesuits, not once in 4 years, said one word to me. Never. I did my best to speak, I don't say with him, but to him. He never smiled at me. I smiled at him. Charity is kind. It restrains the spontaneous urge to revenge ourselves when someone has offended us. Charity does not envy. Envy, as we know, is the spontaneous sadness we feel. And so we were having what I lack, or sadness that someone has succeeded, but I have failed. Is the root of most of the moral evil in the world. You fathers of several children, oh, kinds of polysyllabic words invented by the psychological scientists to describe the spontaneous that child may not yet be able to read, but already from infancy a child is tempted to envy. And behind this temptation to envy, of course, our fallen human nature. But behind that is the need we all have. If there is one virtue, now I especially commend to your reflection, not only during these days of the retreat, but in the years to come, until you enter eternity, it is to practice the charity that masters our spontaneous temptation to envy. We deal with mystery, but not to human beings. Are equally gifted. This is God's mysterious plan for mankind. Now, two of us, and pardon me, identically the same weight. They will be called twins. One is older than the other. I've taught too many students, not two students, pardon me, not two human beings are equally intelligent.
Someone has what I'm like.
if it rises, so animation is the inspiration that other people will have on their own, the inspiration of adults to ever start to become more like them. Fourth quality, charity is not pretentious. I like Shakespeare's definition of how life on earth, it is a stage. Everyone on the stage for 6 years before we enter the judges, and all the ends organized on the judgments too, plays. One thing I recommend for teaching the faith, I know more effective and attractive way than putting on plays. Well, I know something about, putting on. Having, pardon me, play the part of Henry the Fourth, one of Shakespeare's plays. Several thousand words I had to memorize. Of course, I would be playing the part if I did not talk like, act like a king. Fourth quality given us by St. Paul. Charity is not pretentious. Oh, what actors we can be. How pretentious. What airs we can put on. And on a very simple level. And whether we realize it or not, other people see through us. The trouble is, we don't spontaneously see through our own pretentiousness. Fifth quality, revealed by the Holy Spirit. This is, remember, our focus in this retreat. The Holy Spirit is the chief author of sacred scripture. It is He telling us, through St. Paul, charity is not puffed up. Puffed up with what? All kinds of unreal, dreamy dreams, in a living in a real world. I cannot overemphasize what an unreal world only God knows, but I believe most of all Americans are living in. Charity lives in a real world. And watch it. It is not only not being pretentious. For a person who is pretentious puts on airs for others. Well, to see and admire the Pharisees. But charity is not puffed up even inside. It's not just, not pretending to be what we're not, but watching every single thought that enters our minds, and we need to practice deep interior humility. I think I've said this also maybe more than once. My first published article was in 1939. My first published book was in 1959. I sometimes really made myself read a page or two. Lord, what a boastful braggart wrote this book. Great big polysyllabic words. Oh, what actors we can be. And remember, this is the virtue of charity. And here, let's be clear, it is charity towards God. We love God in the measure that we are grateful for the gifts He has given us, and we do not live in an unreal world pretending to be not just externally but even internally what we are not. Charity is not ambitious. And all this contradicts the philosophy of the world. Of course, we should plan, hope, and work for the future. But watch it. Within the limits given us by God. And this is the world governed by its prince, the devil. I know what I'm saying. People will accumulate money they don't need. Have fixtures in their homes, palatial mansions, and so often at the sacrifice of the children they could have, pardon me, should have brought into the world. Seventh quality of supernatural charity. Charity is not self-seeking. We've heard the word how many times? Self-seeking with a hyphen in between. We are to seek, but never to just satisfy ourselves. What are we to do? What a strange word. We are to be God-seeking. What does God want me to do? What does God want me to achieve? What does God want me to possess? And as we know, authentic Christ-like charity, so far from being self-seeking, is so God-seeking, it is willing, I mean what I'm going to say, it is willing to give up everything, and the Lord is everything in this world, according to the will of God. Eighth quality of charity. And here St. Paul begins to concentrate on what we've identified as the second part of the definition of charity. Charity is indeed loving God above all things for himself. But charity is also the love of others out of love for God. Charity is not provoked. Pardon me. Does that mean that God will not put provocative people into our lives? Pardon me, don't be silly. What Paul means is that when you are provoked, sounds like a contradiction. You're not provoked. All kinds of provocative situations. I don't have to wait, I don't say 3 months or 30 days to have somebody provoke you. And table. And so we had breakfast here. Let me use that as an example. There was something at the other end of the table. I'd like to have some. Well, human beings, being human, they take their share, put down the container, and then, well, you have to ask for it. How spontaneously selfish we all are. Not provoked to anger. Not provoked even to sadness. Charity expects. Hear it. To be provoked without. Sounds like a contradiction. Being provoked. Not provoked interiorly. Evil people can do the most nasty things. Provoking us externally. Because just assume this not as an article of faith, but as a fundamental principle of human nature. Every person is deeply in love with himself. Amen. Number 9. St. Paul, under divine inspiration, tells us that charity thinks no evil. I could spend hours expanding on this declaration of the apostle. Thinks no evil. Let's be clear in defining our terms. If someone does what my conscience tells me is wrong, I don't say to myself, well, that was not wrong. In other words, we recognize sin for what it is. Well, then, as St. Paul tells us, he is saying, we do not attribute guilt, that person's having sinned, or even having deeply sinned, no matter how objectively evil that person's action may be. There are two things we don't know about any other person except ourselves. We don't know how much grace another person